Our next speakers are Adam Norris, who's the Account Development Manager, and Carl Rhodes, a Strategic Training Specialist. Both these gentlemen are with Immersive Technologies. And in this presentation, Predictive Analyses of Simulation Training Results, they will examine the relationship between training and assessed scores, spot time in simulation, and job performance, real-world spot time. So please welcome Adam Norris and Carl Rhodes.
Thank you. Good afternoon, guys. Since we're one of the last presentations, hopefully we'll make it quick. Every year, mining companies spend hundreds of millions of dollars on equipment operator training. Traditionally, most of this training has been focused on meeting the essential tick-the-box compliance standards and have provided less than desirable effect on employees' skill transfer to the job. While compliance training is needed and will always provide the minimum requirements for exposure to certain material, it does little to increase return on investment to a level required in a global competitive environment. A 2012 Mining Executive Insight Survey revealed that the majority of mining executives are aiming to improve operator safety, production effectiveness, and equipment reliability. This can largely be accomplished through development of operator competency levels, skills, and establishment of best training practices. This presentation we'll give today will demonstrate how many mining companies are focusing on development of skill to manage some of the industry's top concerns. Many variables can affect the rate, can affect the transfer rate of skills from the learning environment to the job site. From adult learning principles, we understand that people learn and absorb information differently. The established training standards for e-learning or computer-based training, instructor-led training, simulation, both high and medium fidelity, and on-the-job coaching all play a key role in training transfer. Mining as an industry is becoming more accepting of a blended learning model as it has apparent benefits for learning retention and skill transfer. Our complete and scalable solution offers tools and technologies along with professional services to ensure a seamless integration of technology into any training program. In a little bit, we'll go through a couple of these tools, specifically the Global Operator Benchmark over here on the left, and the continuous improvement projects that we've delivered globally and some of the results that we've achieved. Simulator accuracy is dependent upon the level of machine technical information available to the simulator supplier when developing the product. OEM alliances improve the correlation between simulation and real-world operator performance. Most simulation suppliers purchase real machine parts from the OEM dealers. However, this does not necessarily mean that these parts will function individually or collectively as they do in the real machine. That requires confidential machine information from the OEMs. We have exclusive agreements in place with five of the top OEMs as shown on the left. There are three key deliverables in workforce development when integrating simulation into any training program. They are to manage workforce risk through the ability to quantify, assess, and remove that risk, minimize operational cost by reducing operator cost impact and shortening the time for operator competencies, and finally, to drive continuous improvement through production optimization. This is where we generally see the greatest return on investment opportunities. And also, where I'll turn it over to Carl Rhodes, where he'll give some examples and process of a continuous improvement project, projects within simulation. Carl?
Thank you. All right, we're going to talk a little bit more about the continuous improvement efforts that we've had with a number of clients. We've got a few examples that we'll show you. We're going to start with the model of our continuous improvement efforts that we undertake. Basically, the training standards for these programs are based off of Immersive Technologies' best practice model for curriculum development and operator training. This integrates both classroom and simulation into the program and incorporates the adult learning tools and techniques that Adam talked about for maximum skills transfer and training retention. By developing a standardized program of this type, it ensures that each operator receives the same message and practice those skills in the field. Furthermore, following a Six Sigma standard approach, we utilize simulation and in-pit data to determine very clear objectives, skills gaps, and identify the metrics to be used to track progress and quantifying the monetary outcomes of the efforts. In addition, gaining buy-in and support from mine management are crucial in making sure that we're allowed access to the operators to bring through the program, as well as it embeds the processes and procedures into a streamlined workforce development flow. In order to validate these projects, we have done a controlled study. What we did was findings from the study shows that there is a very direct correlation to the skills learned in the simulator and the actual behavior of the operators out in the field. So we did the study with a number of individuals, and sure enough, the findings indicated that as spot times improved within simulation, they also improved out in the pit through the dispatch data in production. A secondary outcome of that project was that simulator data can now be used to basically forecast desired outcomes. So once you understand what that correlation is, it's quite easy, based off of simulator performance, to translate that out into the expected field improvement. What that really does is it allows you to gain insight as far as what benchmarks can be used and the certainty that you'll meet expected production, availability, and utilization targets. Gaining this insight also allows mining operations worldwide to better plan for meeting workforce development for today as well as into the near future. This is a typical result obtained from a project that we focused on spot time. We've now completed about 20 of these projects with astounding results, not only through validation of simulation data, but also through the in-pit complementary data set. Confirming this correlation between simulation and real world allows mining companies to focus on specific behaviors and ensures a monetary impact for the manpower and resources committed. Studies of this type have announced the effectiveness of simulation and gains buy-in from management to get the operators that we need for training. Quite often, that's the biggest challenge in training, is to pull the people out of the pit to bring them in for additional skills training. The average improvements noted here for the respective machine events or components are what we have recognized through CI projects to date, and they are an average of a cumulative effort for the different items. By conducting a comprehensive data assessment allows us to focus on very specific objectives and will provide significant operational and monetary impact to the operation. If we're not reporting a value back to management for the effort and pulling people out of the pit, we're fighting an uphill battle trying to get people into training. As Adam indicated earlier, this is why our relationships with OEMs are so critically important. Aligning our errors with their machine events allows us to very accurately focus and track operator performance both in the sim and as well as in the field. Outcome from these projects have recognized monetary improvements upwards of $5 million. I think we've seen a few other of the presentations today that talked about a very small improvement in these large open pit operations can equate to quite a massive improvement in bottom line. One of the primary focuses is to reduce operational risk. I've got three different risk profiles from a couple of projects that we've run. Maybe I can explain the graph a little bit. They're a little hard to read as small as they are. The x-axis is the error count. The y-axis is the operator count. The gray area of the histogram is the baseline performance. So the gray area indicates, you can see it's leading more towards the right edge of the graph. That's the more towards the right is a higher error count, so more operators are committing more errors before training takes place. The yellow portion of the histogram is a remeasure after training's taken place. So we're pushing that yellow portion of the histogram to the left, indicating more operators are creating less errors while they're operating. So you can see quite a massive shift in evidence from the data that the operators are truly improving from the training efforts involved. One additional tool that we have from the various data sources we've collected from different mining companies around the world allows us to assess upwards of 26,000 individual operator performance data points. Comparing these data points allows us a unique assessment of individuals as well as mining organization site performance, skill levels, and ranking. This capability represents an advanced workforce development assessment tool unique to Immersive's user base. This tool enables identification of key areas regarding primary focus for training and Six Sigma activities. From this data, we can conduct an accurate and thorough gap analysis. The following levels of assessment can be completed. We can look at an entire organization. We can identify individual operator skills gaps and knowledge deficiencies. We can also compare companies under a same parent umbrella or like commodities so that we can look at two coal mines together or two Rio Tinto companies together to compare them against each other. One item here in this example, as you can see, reactive brakes. There's a red and an orange line. It indicates that this particular operation's performance in that category is one of the least effective. So that would identify a reactive braking as potentially one of the first objectives, again, to maximize our training time, our manpower, and our resource allocation to go after something that will have the biggest impact to the operation immediately. A secondary method of assessing performance gaps is a frequency distribution curve. Using this tool via the database, we can easily see how many operators are struggling with certain and specific tasks. Accurately identifying these deficiencies provides clear direction and providing corrective action. Again, applying this technique, training is optimized and manpower efforts maximized. Typical to Six Sigma, we don't only want to build efficiencies in our operators, but in our entire operations. Improvements can be recognized in a number of categories, starting with higher levels of safety, production, and maintenance, and then drilled down, as you could see in the previous graph, similarly. Field metrics are used to confirm the effectiveness of the program once we identify the deficiencies and apply the training to confirm that we're making progress in the right direction. As a last phase of the CI project, communication is paramount. If you make some significant improvements, but you don't report that to the management, potentially the corporate office, as well as back to the training teams, you're missing an opportunity. Operational improvements are recognized out of these projects, again, not just through improved operations, but also through improvements in business processes, also data gathering efficiencies. So we want to make sure that these processes are easier. The mine sites will not continue to use these ongoing. Making the information easy to access enables effective reporting and reducing risk. Providing this data set as a final report actually sets the stage for the next round of continuous improvements efforts and identifies potential training objectives going forward. That's all I have on CI and a bit on our global operator improvement. Is there any questions for the materials we covered? Thank you.